Couch Potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Kahn.
And I'm Kristen Dreyer Kremer, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
This week, we're going to be talking about The Croods. I want to say that in a Scottish accent.
I don't know why.
I feel like it's something that Billy Connolly would just... The Croods! Or something like that.
Nice, and that sounded quite good. Good
it
job
did, no, it
that.
Didn't. It's sure just, did. I do a terrible Scottish accent. I sound like a drunk Mike Myers.
You know the thing, when my husband, he tries doing all kinds of different accents, and they all sound the same. They all sound like a drunken Indian person.
It's, really?
Yeah.
Even if it's like British?
Yeah.
It's like hoity-toity British?
It is kind of funny.
That's awesome. I can't imagine your husband doing accents. He just doesn't seem like that kind of person.
Like the kind with a sense of humor?
Well, no, I mean, he has a sense of humor. He's very dry, though. Anyways, we're also going to talk about Admission, which doesn't have any accent to it.
I know.
And then Olympus Has Fallen. Which
Gerard Butler's in it, so it probably has an accent.
It's an accent that doesn't necessarily mean anything.
No.
We're also going to talk about DVD review, some DVDs to review and some Blu-rays and that sort of thing. But first, let's roll into the box office from last week. And we were...
Dun-dun-dun!
Ta-da! We were pretty close. Of course, we came in... You technically won that one because you were closer.
Because
you said $36 million for Oz the Great and Powerful. Mm-hmm. And I said
suppose 35. you're gonna share this one with me again, aren't you?
No, I'll let you have it. But we are both right. That's what
we
won.
Yeah.
$41 million is what Oz the Great and Powerful came in, and then The Call came in with $17 million. Nobody saw that coming.
$17 million.
Nobody saw that coming.
I did not see that coming.
The studio didn't even see it coming. They were predicting low teens for this, and when it was released, it did very well for what it was, just some crappy little thriller.
Yeah.
And I was talking to you know who it is when I'll tell you this. I'm not going to name her, but she works as a rep for one of the publicity agencies, and she also manages a theater in town.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw her this past weekend, we'd gone and seen one of the movies that we're going to talk about this week, and she said, yeah, all she was hearing about The Call was people were saying, it's a terrible film, but it's a lot of fun to see in an audience and to yell and scream at the screen.
Yeah. Yeah, that seems about right.
I think I said on one of my radio interviews, I said, it's the kind of movie you could get drunk and go see.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say that would be the perfect way to see it.
Yeah.
There is no other way to see that movie.
I really hope
that if you're sober, it's kind of painful.
It is kind of painful.
Yeah.
But I hope they put that on the cover box of the DVD. I should send that. I should get that clip of that radio interview.
You should do that.
And send that in. Wouldn't it be hilarious?
Get drunk and see this movie.
A great movie to get drunk during.
Yeah.
Amazingly, it might sell more copies.
It can happen.
Then there was The Incredible Bert Wenderstein, which only was $10 million, which is terrible for this movie.
Yeah.
That was. I was surprised at how poorly this did.
Yeah. Because I didn't get a chance to see it, but I heard a lot of great things about it.
Yeah.
I kind of want to see it still.
I think it was just, it's a hard sell in terms of the subject matter. Mm-hmm. It one of the movies I've seen it compared to was Semi-Pro with Will Ferrell.
Oh, really?
And the only difference is Semi-Pro was rated R, which I think hurt it because it wasn't that PG-13 broad comedy, while this was. But I think it's a hard sell subject-wise.
Hmm.
And I think but it did worse than Semi-Pro.
Yeah, which is really strange.
Yeah. Oddly enough, though, I think it only costs like 30-some million to make,
which
is an interesting thing to consider. You know, when you consider like Oz the Great and Powerful's made $144 million so far, and it cost $200 million to make. It'll still make money.
Yeah.
But the risk return is very different than something like Bert Wonderstone. Then you roll down Jack the Giant Slayer, Identity Theft, Snitch, 21 and Over, blah, 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 blah. Interesting thing, though, I want to point this out. 21 and Over is being billed as a bomb, is being reported as a bomb, because it didn't do as well as, like, Project X.
Right.
But it is currently at, and this isn't me trying to save anything or whatever, but it's currently at $22 million box office. Its budget was only 13.
It deserves to be saved, though.
It was a good movie.
It was a good movie.
I kind of like that one. But the other thing is it's interesting how people will report it, and I've noticed that they tend to do this even more for box office reporting. They compare it; they always compare it to another movie.
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't do exactly the same or better, it's considered a flop.
Oh, right.
And they're comparing 21 and Over to Project X because that one did it. And again, part of the reason Project X did so well was because it cost $5 million to make or whatever. And when it made $50 million, that was a big hit.
Right.
Again, 21 and Over, $13 million budget, probably didn't cost that much to advertise because they were doing it in cheap places.
Right.
You know, if this thing makes $30 million, which it looks like it could, it's actually going to be a profitable film.
Yeah. Now, so. I think one thing that's interesting about the box office right now is number 8. Silver Linings Playbook.
That's
doing still at number 8. That movie came out in November.
It has been doing a slow burn.
Yeah.
Even though I didn't like it.
I did.
I think it's an amazing run of a film.
Yeah.
There's some neat stuff, and you always get this at the end of the year during award season when you get this movies like Lincoln making as much money as it did.
Right.
I would have never thought it would have made that much money. But these are movies that somehow get an audience beyond, you know, the big explosions. The Splosions movies. And speaking of Splosions movies.
Yes.
A Good Day to Die Hard, it cracked $200 million overseas. And which makes it a 266 global box office as the last reporting numbers were there. Which is off a $92 million budget.
That's not bad.
That is not bad. Which probably means that
there's going to be another one.
There will be another one. And Bruce Willis will probably be in it because he's in every other movie that's being made right now.
Of course.
It doesn't matter if it goes. It could go to direct-to-video.
Why would he not be in it? Come on.
He's like, I was in Cold Light of Day. I'll be in your movie. Anyways, if you want to get a hold of us, you can email us at fatguys@themovies.com. You can give us a voicemail at 740-205-6456. You can go to fatguysatthemovies.com or get us on Facebook at facebook.com/FGATM. If you want to find me on Twitter and yell at me, you can do that.
That's always fun.
It is. I'm at twitter.com/KevinCarr.
And I am KDK Reviews. And you can find me at realdiscovery.org and nightsandweekends.com.
Yes. So that is how you get in touch with us. You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer.
Hello.
Let's burn through a little bit of movie news. We got about 3 minutes here until the end of the...
Kind of a slow week this week.
Yeah, not a whole lot. The only things that I thought that were really worth checking out is Lynn Ramsey, who...
That was a story.
Yeah, she was the one who did... She directed We Need to Talk About
right.
Kevin, which is not about me.
But we do need to talk about Kevin sometime.
We do. I know.
There's something we need to do about Kevin.
I don't know what it is. I'm sure it'll involve something fun. Like, you know, something soft and gelatinous. did I gross you out
anyway,
yet?
Anyway.
See, I did that in the first segment.
No?
I could go on.
You could, no. I know. And you probably will. We'll continue.
Her new movie, which was going to be, is Jane Gets a Gun? Is that what it is?
I believe so, yeah.
It stars Natalie Portman. She just... quit the movie by not showing up.
Yeah, everybody else is there. First day of filming.
Yeah.
No director.
Which blows my mind because the director just doesn't show up the first day.
No.
There's a lot of prep work.
Right.
There's you know, storyboards and pre-production and all that kind of thing. Yeah, she just didn't show up.
Do we know why?
I don't think anyone knows why yet.
Okay.
I think
I
she just didn't
that.
Show up. I don't know if anyone called her. You know, she might be dead in her bathtub for all we know. But then they quickly got Gavin O'Connor, who did Warrior, to do it. And then that made Jude Law leave because Jude Law wanted to work with Lynn Ramsey. And since she wasn't on, he's like, oh, sorry, guys.
I'm out of here.
Yeah. So that movie's in chaos.
That's so random.
Another one is because of the high international numbers for the box office for Hansel and Gretel, Witch Hunters, there will most likely be a sequel.
Seriously.
I mean.
Come on.
This is your fault. This is your fault. Audiences who saw this movie.
Thank you for going and seeing this movie.
It will probably,
now we'll have to see the sequel.
Yeah, it will probably not have Jeremy Renner and Gemma Arterton in it.
You don't think so?
Because, I can't wait to see who's going to be in it. It's going to be like some guy from television. It'll be like Ian Somerhalder or something like that from The Vampire Diaries, and it'll seem very out of place. And they'll put in like somebody else, like somebody who was in Smallville.
Nice.
To play Gretel or something. And then finally, we talked about the Kickstarter campaign.
Yeah, now this is interesting.
Yeah. There's a bunch of movies that now people are saying, we should do a Kickstarter for this. Of course, the big one everyone looks at is Joss Whedon's Firefly. We talked a bit about that.
Yep.
What one are we talking about now?
Pushing Daisies.
Yeah.
Which I loved that show.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Do you think it would work to get Kickstarter? And two, do you think it's possible?
I don't know. You know, I know that there were a lot of people like me who absolutely adored the show. And that's one of those things I'm like, oh, yeah, the show was too smart, so they had to cancel it.
Yes.
But I don't know how it would work.
Yeah. Well, they kind of wrap it up. In the very last episode, they kind of whiz through this epilogue that ties everybody's story up. So I don't know how that would work. And then you're looking at budget and
right.
that sort of thing. But, you know, hey, fans of the show. It was a good show.
It was.
We're going to go. I'm going to talk next at the end of coming back from break. I'm doing a trek-a-thon with my kids this weekend, so we'll have to talk about that. welcome back to Fat Guys of the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr.
Hello.
I teased right at the end and you maybe heard some music from Star Trek.
You're such a tease.
I am a tease. We are doing a Trekathon this weekend, me and my kids. Well, actually, it's spilling all the way into next week. We're watching, I'm showing them all the Trek movies, all the old school Trek movies, you know, anything that was a movie. And I'm showing episodes of the animated series and the original series.
This is a pretty spectacular event that you have going here. Before we started the show today, he showed me the program.
Yeah.
Like, he has a book that he put together, and it is remarkable. And I'm really jealous right now.
For, like, five people. Yeah. That's what's so funny.
I really envy your children at this point. I might try to pose as one.
You should.
Do you think I can pose as Liam?
Just show up one day. You're about his height. I mean, he's gotten tall.
He is.
But it's one of these things because we did the Superthon
right
a couple months ago and we did the Monsterthon and the Bondathon this past summer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're doing the Trekathon and as I was putting this all together, I realized there's a lot of Star Trek stuff.
Oh yeah,
I had to keep it to two Star Trek themed things. I mean, mm-hmm. I couldn't go to Voyager or Deep Space Nine or Enterprise.
There is a lot to choose from.
Yeah, it's Shatner and Picard and that's it. You know, mm-hmm. Notice how I said Picard. I call. Patrick Stewart, Picard. Yeah, he's just Picard.
Whatever.
He's Picard. But yeah, you'll have to follow me on Twitter and see all the cool stuff we're doing. We're making snacks, my wife's making snacks. And I'm going to decorate. I bought a lava lamp.
Nice.
And I borrowed a Star Trek movie poster from our friend Nick Harum,
mm-hmm.
From movieshateyou2.com. And we're going to have a lot of fun.
It is going to be wonderful.
I'm very jealous. Yeah. I know, because you became a Star Trek fan after the last movie.
I did. And yeah, so now I would like to catch up on a few of them. I've seen as many as I could get my hands on, but, you know.
You could come over for an episode, I'm sure.
If you might have to.
If you had time.
Mm-hmm.
You have a child.
Yeah. Can I bring the baby? I'm sure she'll love it.
My wife would love you to bring the baby. Absolutely. All right. Well, anyways, enough of my nonsense. Let's move on.
Let's move on to some other nonsense.
Let's talk about other nonsense. The first movie we're going to talk about is The Croods. A family of cavemen face the end of the world as they know it when shifting continents force them to... I wrote this thing. Why am I having such trouble reading this? A family of cavemen face the end of the world as they know it when shifting continents force them to leave their cave of safety.
My name's Eep, and this is my family, The Croods.
Oh, we've been in that cave forever.
3 days is not forever.
It is with this family.
We never had the chance to explore the outside world because of my dad's one rule.
New is always bad. Never not be afraid.
Ugh. But what we didn't know was that our world was about to change.
Get to the cave! Look out!
I want to hear what you have to think because you were... We ended up sitting together during this movie because we saw it on a Saturday morning very early. And I got the sense you weren't terribly amused by it.
I wasn't.
Okay.
And the thing is, I realize that this is the kind of movie that needs two reviews.
Okay.
Because this movie wasn't made for me.
No.
You know, this movie was made for kids. Mm-hmm. And for kids, it's fun. It's, you know, got wonderful animation. It's 3D and it's fun and it's wacky and there's all kinds of stuff going on and it's crazy.
It has Nicolas Cage in it.
It has Nicolas Cage in it, which, you know, should be a good thing for me because you know how much I love Nicolas Cage.
He did not catch on fire in this movie.
No. But yeah, if from my perspective as a grown-up who is not a child, this thing is a mess.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, the characters, they're all horrible stereotypes.
They're the standard.
The whole story is a terrible stereotype, and I'm still trying to figure out the point of any of it.
Are you think that the cavemen are going to be upset by the politically incorrect nature of this movie?
They could be.
The Geico cavemen are going to protest.
They may protest. No, my question is, if the world is coming to an end, mm-hmm. how can going to a different part of the world help that? And I have not figured this out yet.
Here's the thing. Don't get your science from The Croods.
No. It was one of those nagging little things that kept bugging me. I'm like, well, what good is it going to do?
The world's
You're going to go over to this other part of the world that's ending.
Well,
good job.
It's sort of like getting your science from the Ice Age movies.
Yeah.
And the last Ice Age movie dealt with continental drift as well. That's the story is, because they set it up at the beginning. They're like, oh, the world's changing and Pangea's breaking up. They didn't say that, but that's what it is. And I'm like, that took hundreds of millions of years, like hundreds of thousands of years at least. I'm off on my, because I get my science from the movies. But it took many, many, many thousands and thousands and thousands of years for Pangea to break. It did not happen in a weekend.
It's true.
Continental drift drifts. It doesn't rocket. So yeah, there's that. It's not at all scientifically accurate.
Nothing really happens in this movie. That was my thing. Nothing really happens.
There's a part in the middle where, it stumbles and doesn't know what the heck it's trying to do.
I mean, you can tell from the opening scene. I mean, the opening scene is like a football game with an egg.
It's an amazing scene, though. It's like the beginning of Bolt.
Well, yeah, it looks good, but it's like, but nothing is happening in this scene. There is no point to that scene whatsoever. But there's, marching band music. So there's that.
I was a little conflicted with this movie. By the way, you're listening to Fat Guys in the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr. We're talking about the Croods. I was conflicted because on one hand, I love the fact that it was an original movie.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't say the story's terribly fresh.
It's not that original, though.
But it's not a sequel. It's not a remake. It's not taking another it's not just taking a fairy tale and adapting it. Not even like Brave last year, which was in essence just another Disney princess story thrown into Scotland with a mix of Brother Bear as well. But this one is, at least it's a different movie, and I give it credit.
And if there's one thing that DreamWorks does well, it's the animation.
Yeah.
And they are really stepping it up with the animation. It's gorgeous.
It looks good. It looks good. And the thing is, it's a 90-minute movie. I took my son. He liked it. It's not a great movie. It's not it's not like the Pixar films. It's not like WALL-E or Up. Or even like Kung Fu Panda. Some of the Pixar. Or even like, Puss in Boots, which is a great movie.
And this is about a smart and sophisticated as its characters.
I didn't hate it. I was watching, I'm like, well, that's dumb and that's stupid, but I didn't find myself checking my watch and squirming too much. I'm going to give it a kind of rocks just for the family value of it.
Yeah. I'm kind of on the fence, but I'm just going to say it kind of sucks just because,
just to be grumpy?
Yeah, I think so.
Grumpy
it's
pants.
It's one of those weeks. I'm going to be grumpy.
Grumpy pants, KDK. Anyways, we're going to talk about, we're just going to play the trailer for this one, and we'll talk a little bit real quick after the other side. But what the next movie we've got, blah, blah, blah.
Yes, thank you. It is Olympus Has Fallen. Gerard Butler plays a former guard who helps the Secret Service rescue the president and retake the White House after a terrorist attack.
Spoilers!
Olympus Has Fallen. Olympus Has Fallen.
Mr. Speaker,
you are the acting president.
If you attempt to retake this building, I will execute
your commander-in-chief.
We have contact from inside the White House.
Is this the same guy that was removed from the president's detail?
He is ex-Special Forces.
Can we trust him? With all due respect, I'm the best hope you've got.
It's his job. It's what he does. Or it's what he used to do, apparently.
Well, yeah, now God knows what's going on with Gerard Butler. Nice enough guy, but wow, he's a mess. This one is, let's just get the Die Hard comparisons out of the way.
Okay.
It is Die Hard in the White House. That's what it is. Remember the 90s when there was like every movie that came out was Die Hard on a plane, Die Hard on a bus, Die Hard in your pants.
Lovely.
That's not good. Did I say that wrong? We better go to a break. Let's go to a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Olympus Has Fallen and also talk about Admission.
Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr. We were just talking about the latest Die Hard movie, Olympus Has Fallen.
It's amazing they came out with a sequel this quickly.
I know, it's amazing.
Yeah, and
but
they replaced...
they did really well at the box office.
They replaced John McClane with Gerard Butler.
Yeah, why not?
As a Secret Service agent. This one's interesting because we got a screening, but it was very late.
Yes.
And I'm not going to go through the drama and the politics.
There was a lot of drama and politics and weeping and gnashing of teeth.
But it's there. Yeah. So we haven't seen it at the time of putting this show together.
No.
I have to say, though, I kind of want to. I know it's going to be terrible.
It's
directed by Antoine Fuqua, who's, I think, a fantastic director.
Aaron Eckhart's in it.
Aaron Eckhart, Two Faces. I look at this as, because, you know, Morgan Freeman's in it
Morgan
as well.
Freeman is in it.
But he's not the president.
No.
Because seriously, a black president.
I saw the poster. I was like, well, Morgan Freeman's the president. That makes sense.
That's never going to happen.
No.
But I look at this as a sequel to Deep Impact.
Okay.
Where he's not president, but he was, and he's really pissed off about
it.
He's like, I was president once.
So Morgan Freeman's in for revenge.
Yeah, that's right. He's masterminding the whole thing.
Spoilers.
I don't know. Good thing I haven't seen it yet. Anyways, Fuqua did movies like Training Day, and he did Tears of the Sun. He's a very solid director, violent director.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, his movies are violent. I don't know if he's punching people.
Maybe that's how he gets his movies made.
You know, I was reading about, this has nothing to do with Olympus Has Fallen, but I was reading about Daniel Day-Lewis.
Okay.
About how he's a method actor and how insane method he
yes.
is. Like when he played Christy Brown, he'd have to be carried to set because he acted paralyzed.
Wow.
And how when he was doing Gangs of New York, he actually got like pneumonia and he wouldn't put on a coat because they didn't do that back in the day.
Wow.
I also wondered if he murdered people for Gangs of New York.
Yeah.
That would have been good. It's like, well,
hey, it's method.
Method acting. He, you know, hey, this is for my art.
It's true.
Anyways, that has nothing to do with Olympus Has Fallen.
No, but thank you for that. That was fun.
We're going to withhold reviews. If you want to see what we have to say, go to Fat Guys at the Movies, and you'll see at least my review of it. I don't know if you're going to get a chance to see it.
I don't know.
You've got a baby.
And I'm sick.
Mm. Yeah, she sounds pretty good for being sick, because I was waiting for her to be
like... I've been working on it. I've been drinking my chamomile tea with honey and lemon. It tastes horrible.
I've been drinking my coffee with Bacardi rum. No. I kept expecting to come in, and because you were saying you were sick, and I wanted to be like, hey, this is Kevin Carr. Hey, this is Chris Ryan Kramer. Welcome to Fat Guys at the Movies.
You know, my parents have been in town this week, and I got up and had breakfast this morning. I was like... How do you think I'm going to sound on the radio today?
You sound like Brenda Beccaro. You sound like Reagan from The Exorcist.
So fortunately, I've gotten a little bit better.
Anyways, let's talk about the next movie.
Shall we?
It is Admission. A Princeton admissions official faces a crisis of character as she learns a brilliant but free-spirited applicant might be her son.
To do our job well, an admissions officer must be on the receiving end of an entire nation's application panic. Endure the frustration of all the parents who just realized there isn't room for every organically fed, well-tutored offspring.
I'd really like to introduce you to somebody. This is Jeremiah Balaki.
And, you know, I'm not really your typical student. My brain sort of goes on a little walkabout.
He's a prodigy.
Portia, I know this is all a bit abrupt,
but I think maybe Jeremiah's your son.
I did not like this movie. I'm just going to throw out that.
You know, I figured you wouldn't.
And part of the reason I didn't like it is, while it's nothing to do with the actors in it, because Tina Fey's great,
mm-hmm.
Paul Rudd's great,
mm-hmm.
Lily Tomlin's in it, and she's really pretty good too.
Yeah.
And what's amazing is I think she finally got plastic surgery for the first time, and she's a good example of when you should get plastic surgery.
Yeah, she looks all right.
Because
tell that she had it.
Yeah, but
she looks all right.
She doesn't look like she's been stretched like the woman in Brazil.
Nice.
You know. But it was so long.
It is long. It is 2 hours long, and that was a little too much.
It is like Return of the King at the end. It just keeps
going.
It's true.
The end is really long and drawn out and more melodramatic than it needs to be.
All of the ending. I kept expecting Sam and Frodo to show up and return to the Shire at the end, because that's pretty much what happens.
It does keep going on and on. It does.
Did you like it?
I did.
As an academic? Because you're a little more academic than me. Not,
really?
not
I'm,
crazy.
I'm more academic than you are.
You have a nonsense degree. No, I'm just kidding. You have a degree.
I do. I have a degree in English. Thank you.
See, yeah, because you're using it. You're vitally using it on this show. As I'm done minimalizing my co-host.
No, and I realize that this is not a great movie.
Okay.
But the thing is, it's been so long since we've seen just a normal rom-com.
Okay.
Something that's a little smarter, a little more grown up, that doesn't revolve around bodily functions.
Hmm?
And that's refreshing for me.
Yeah.
And that's why I can appreciate it, because it's a little bit different than the things that we've been seeing lately. And the characters are charming. And yes, they're stereotypes. Mm. But it just feels a little bit refreshing to me just to see something that I don't have to worry about, you know, people running through the streets. And I'm not even going to talk about the scene from Bridesmaids. Let's not go there.
Well, I mean, I don't like Bridesmaids either. That's
yeah.
just me. Although I think that they did have a birthing sequence in this movie.
They did, but you didn't see anything.
Yeah, but you heard a lot about it.
You did hear a little bit.
It was a cow, by the way.
And there was one vomit scene. You know, I was going to say that.
True.
There was no vomit. There was vomit,
there
but
was vomit.
It wasn't a joke.
Yeah.
And, you know, I appreciate that.
Part of the thing with, like I said, the actors are fine.
Mm-hmm.
And even the characters, I didn't hate the characters.
Yeah.
I just don't like the kind of people the characters are. Does that make
okay.
sense?
Yeah.
The whole thing is it's supposed to be this Ivy League, very elitist sort of, revelation of how people are on the top there.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who help make that happen. And then you have, it's supposed to be sort of this upstairs, downstairs, but the people downstairs who are in this sort of this charter school. Yeah, the alternative school.
They're even worse.
They're just as hoity-toity and elitist.
I would say they're even
snooty.
Worse. Yeah, they're terrible.
And I'm just kind of like, okay, so it's like one group of intellectual snobs versus another group of intellectual snobs.
Yeah.
In different ways. And that's why I don't have much time for intellectual snobs.
Okay.
So
I gotcha.
And then the length of it just went on for freaking
on
ever.
Bit.
At one point, because I was sitting next to Nick Harum.
Yeah.
We mentioned him earlier. And I look at my clock, my phone to check what time it is. And I kind of, I sighed. And he says, how much longer? And I'm like, we're at halftime, man.
Yeah.
And his
it is
jaw
a little
drops.
Drawn out. I will give you that much.
And I don't know. It's just I think it needed to go one way or the other. I think it needed to either be a comedy or be a dramatic film. But I think at times it tries to do both and doesn't quite succeed. And if it were a half hour short, I might have liked it.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. So.
So what's your grade on this?
It kind of sucks.
I'm gonna say it kind of rocks.
Yeah.
So you know now it's your turn to be Mr. Cranky Pants.
I know. Cranky Pants.
There you go.
Did you say the Croods kind of sucked? Is that what you put
I did,
it as?
Yeah.
Or did you say totally sucked?
I said it kind of sucked.
Kind of sucked, okay. Because I said it kind of rocked.
Yeah.
We're flip-flopped on that.
Yeah. It's okay. We'll balance out.
You're all about the hoity-toity snobs, and I'm all about the bodily function cavemen.
Yeah. That's pretty much how this show works.
You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer.
In fact, I have to tell you,
yeah?
I actually predicted exactly what you would grade things this week. So
I figured you would you would grade them too.
Yep.
I figured
we know each other that well.
Yeah.
Like I know where Kevin's going on this one, so I'm just going to go the opposite.
But what's so funny about it is like other movies like 21 and Over, we're both like, oh, that was a good movie.
Yeah.
And you kind of want to see Burt Wonderstone, you know?
Uh-huh.
So we sometimes split, but not always.
Yeah.
That's what makes us unique.
Yes, it is.
We're like the Siskel and Ebert of the internet, only
we're
you have
also
hair.
On the radio.
I'm both the fat one and the bald one.
Nice. Which one am I?
You're the one who doesn't have the bad characteristics, I guess. What do you think is going to win this weekend? We got about 30 seconds.
I'm going to go with the Croods.
Yeah?
I'm going to give it 41
million. Wow! I'm saying 25 for the Croods.
Really?
I think it's going to be a horse race between that and Oz. I don't think Oz is going to take another weekend.
No, I don't think so.
But yeah, I think the Croods is just the Croods is going to be hurt by Oz because you've already had that family audience out
it's
there.
It's true, and but it's spring break.
That's true.
So you never know.
We're not going to go see it because we're going to be having the Trek-a-thon.
Bang. You are.
All right, so I guess that's it. We are going to go to a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about DVDs and Blu-rays.
Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr.
That's me.
Nice.
I have to do that every episode.
Mm-hmm.
I have that. I sound like an idiot.
And
but
we always enjoy it.
Yeah, I'm sure we do.
We
do not get any fan mail about that whatsoever.
No, you know, we haven't.
We haven't gotten. Mm. But, you know, hey, we've gotten some calls. We've gotten some fan mail recently. So
it's true. That's kind of fun.
It's always nice to
have
that.
So you can call us because our phone works.
Oh, and you wanted to say a happy birthday to someone. We missed it last week.
We did. We missed somebody's birthday last week.
Yeah.
It was Red State Gabe's birthday.
Yes, loyal listener from Arizona, Red State Gabe, wished us a we want to wish him a happy birthday.
Yes.
I hear he went to Vegas.
Yes, I did notice that on Facebook.
I hear that he remembers only part of what happened in Vegas.
That sounds about right.
And that works, since whatever happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Clearly.
Including probably some contents of his stomach.
Nice.
So, happy birthday, Red State Gabe.
Happy birthday.
Anyways.
So, what time is it now, Kevin?
I think it's time for the world famous
DVD Roundup.
That's right. The first one, probably the top pick for me, at least. I don't know. Is this your top pick?
Nope, not mine.
No? Okay.
Nope.
My top pick. Well, what's your top pick? Let's do yours.
My top pick would be the one that you spelled incorrectly on
which
the...
One oh, Les Mis...
Yes, and I wanted you to say it because it's way more fun when you say it.
I spelled it. I think I just spelled it Les Miserables. Was how I spelled it in the show notes.
Miserable.
Miserable.
Yes.
It came out. Actually, this is interesting. Sometimes this happens. Usually the DVDs come out on
Tuesday.
On Tuesday.
That's the day, yeah.
This one actually comes out this Friday. So it's already out.
Yes.
So you can go check it out. Even though it didn't come out this past Tuesday. Les Miserables and... Not Porky's. This is 40. Both came out on Friday. One of them's good and one of them's not.
Right. So Les Miserables is my pick this week.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Did you love it in when it was out on in the theaters, or did you like it even more when you got to video and watched it again?
I haven't watched it again.
Ooh, but you loved it.
I did. I've seen it twice.
Wow.
And I cried both times.
Oh.
It was terrible because the second time I was watching it with my in-laws, I'm like, I'm not going to cry this time. I'm not going to, and I did anyway.
You're cowering in a corner.
Yes.
In the shower.
Anne Hathaway, I tell you, that woman deserved that Oscar.
That was a good scene.
Mm-hmm.
That was a good scene. I liked Les Mis. I'm not a huge fan of the Broadway show. Did you like the Broadway show? I
haven't seen the Broadway show.
Really?
And my husband has.
Okay.
So he liked that more than he liked the movie.
Okay. Well, the hardest thing is to divorce yourself from who played whom in the show itself. But, and that, you run into that with like, maybe not Anne Hathaway, but both Hugh Jackman and Russell Crowe, they weren't the strongest performances that could have been.
Yeah.
So especially Russell Crowe, who...
Really? You didn't like Russell Crowe?
He strains a lot.
Hmm.
But he was a lot more adorable than he was in Man with the Iron Fists.
Well, there's that.
Yeah. I won't even tell you what happened in Man in the Iron Fist. It was really gross.
And you're not going to tell us because that is the first thing that you would normally jump on.
Let's just say that to describe what happened in Man with the Iron Fist, I probably would have to bleep it off the radio.
Okay, moving right along.
But I will say that a friend of the show, Elizabeth Rapp, who's a huge fan of Russell Crowe, even the doughy, fat, tubby man boob Russell Crowe, she did enjoy them. I saw her, she watched it, and she said, oh, she loved it. I said, even this scene? She's like, yes. I don't think she said it like that. But
there you go.
But she's a big Russell Crowe fan.
Okay. Well, moving on to your favorite. Then.
My favorite, my pick of the week is The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey.
That would be my second.
It's a good movie. I have to say, I was never a huge fan of the Lord of the Rings movies, but I've now seen The Hobbit 3 times.
Wow.
Well, because I had to see it. I saw it first for award consideration, and then I wanted to see it in 48 frames a second, so I saw it that way. And then I saw it when it came out on Blu-ray this past
week.
That
is commitment.
Yeah, I like the movie. I really like the movie. Because not being a huge Lord of the Rings fan, because I know when people are like, it's not as deep and as connected and not a, and I'm like, well, I kind of like that. I kind of like the...
That's my issue with it. I guess I miss the characters because I enjoyed the Lord of the Rings movies. And for this, it's just a bunch of dwarves with no names.
But, well, no, they do have names.
They do, but we don't know them and we don't care about them.
But they do have, like, I mean, they bring back Elrond, and Legolas is going to be in the next one.
Yes, and Gollum. And those are the best parts of the movie, the parts that have the characters from The Lord of the Rings in them.
See, I also love the action set pieces for this. Mm-hmm. The escape from the Goblin City is impossible to not watch that. It's amazing to watch. And do you know who played the Goblin? I didn't realize this. Who played the Goblin King?
I'm trying to remember. I do know.
Dame Edna.
Nice.
Well, it wasn't Dame Edna. It was like, hello, folks. Oh! That would have been awesome.
That would have actually made that scene even better.
But it's the guy behind the makeup.
Yes.
I really enjoyed The Hobbit. It made over $1 billion. I'm very much looking forward to The Desolation of Smaug. I don't know if I wanted that one to be 3 hours long.
No.
I did get a chance to go through a lot of the special features on The Hobbit, and they got all the video diaries, which normally I'm kind of poo-poo those because normally they can be boring. Mm. Those are pretty comprehensive.
Really?
And they go into different aspects of it, mm-hmm. and they do a spotlight on Andy Serkis. Did you know he was a second unit director on this?
Yeah, he has been doing more of that lately.
Yeah.
He's been stepping up, Andy Serkis.
Which
good
I think
for
is
you,
really
Gollum.
Cool. Yeah, and he's because they shot his scenes first, and then he did second unit for a lot of the rest of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it is kind of fascinating to watch. And that's really all it is. It's just like 2 hours of production diaries and a short little featurette.
Ooh.
So I don't know what the 3D Blu-ray has, and I'm sure that when all three movies are done, they're going to have the massive eternity cut by Peter Jackson. But while watching The Hobbit, it reminded me of something else that I watched, which was last week's pick, but I thought it's worth mentioning again, is Willow hit Blu-ray for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see Willow? Did you get a copy of it?
No. I requested it. Didn't show up.
I requested, got it late, and this is why I wasn't able to really talk about it.
Yeah, that's what I was hoping, that it would still show up, but it never did.
Yeah, if we were the same person, we would have all the DVDs.
It's true.
But what's neat about Willow is it was also filmed in New Zealand.
Oh. Well,
and you could almost see same vistas that were shot 25 years ago for Willow, and it was, you know, sort of the same thing, a fantasy movie.
Yep,
and it has its problems. Willow's not a perfect movie, but it's a lot of fun. I showed it to my kids.
Mm-hmm.
And it was neat watching the behind the scenes, because they were talking about filming in New Zealand and how it was perfect for this sort of fantasy world. And of course you go into Hobbit, and particularly the snow-covered peaks. I think they actually have the same mountains.
Nice.
From movie to movie, and it's really odd, because when I was watching Willow, I was like, I wonder if they shot this in New Zealand, because it looks like they're on Middle Earth.
Uh-huh.
So.
Well, there you have it.
Both are cool. Also out this week is, you're listening to Fat Guys in the Movies with Kevin Conkers and Dreyer Kramer. We're doing our DVD and Blu-ray picks. There's also Zero Dark Thirty, which is out.
It is.
Did you, you weren't a huge fan of
this. No, not really. It was okay.
Yeah, for me it was okay. Mm. I don't think it was deserving of all the accolades it got.
No, and that's one of those things that everybody's going, oh, well, this would have gotten Best Picture. It was the best movie of the year, but then all this scandal came up, and everybody was complaining at the White House and all this stuff. I'm like, no, it's not that good.
No, it wasn't. I'm surprised it got as much accolades as it did. Same thing for Rust and Bone. Have you seen that?
I haven't, no.
That's the one where Marion Cotillard was... Mm-hmm. She plays a whale trainer, a killer whale trainer, who gets an accident, loses her legs, and falls in love, and has to rebuild her life and that sort of thing.
Sounds like a really uplifting movie.
Yeah. This year, all the movies that got Best Actress nominations, they were either physically injured or banging somebody.
Yes.
That's pretty much how
it all
went. We have
discussed that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So. And it's a foreign language film, so you have to read subtitles.
Reading.
But she's naked with, like, no legs. So that's an interesting thing to watch.
Okay.
There's also Porky's on Blu-ray. You didn't think this is all going to be award films, did you?
No, I didn't. No, I know you better than that.
Did you ever see Porky's?
You know, I don't think I've seen the whole thing. I know. Don't look at me like that.
Shame on you. You call yourself...
Bring over the Blu-ray and I'll watch it.
Okay. Porky's is a fun movie.
I think I had the video game.
Okay. The video
game. Like the Atari version. Yeah.
Wow.
It's something like that.
Oh, wow.
I don't know why I had it. Maybe it was just really cheap and my mom bought it and she thought it was, you know, something about Three Little Pigs.
She was wrong.
Yeah.
So there's that. The stinkers this week, this is 40. You didn't like that either.
No.
It's a terrible movie.
It's a terrible movie.
And way too long. Boy, you think Admission's long?
Oh,
holy cow.
No. You age well. I think I may have turned 40 while I was watching this movie.
This should have been called This is 140, and that's the running time.
Mm.
Also, Bachelorette. Did you see Bachelorette?
I didn't.
It's not that good.
Okay. I'll take your word for
that. They're horrible people. They're like horrible, coked-up whores. I'm sorry. I know that's not a popular thing to say, but that's really what the characters are. And it's not even like The Hangover, where they're abrasive characters. Because The Hangover, everybody was, you know, you had the a-hole. You had the pushover. You had the kooky guy, and then you have the normal guy who gets lost.
Yeah, and we never see him again.
But everybody is that archetype. Bachelorettes are just all horrible people.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Anyways,
probably don't see that movie.
Review wrap up. The Croods, you said kind of rocked. I say kind of rocked. You said kind of sucked.
Yep.
Olympus has fallen. Check the site for the review of that. Admission, flip flop.
Mm-hmm.
You said kind of rocks. I said kind of sucked. Box office predictions. You said what? 41 million for the Croods?
41.
I said 25. So we'll see what happens with that. Next week, there's a bunch of movies. There's G.I. Joe Retaliation, the big sequel.
Woo.
The Host, which should be a complete
also,
mess.
Woo.
And then the longest named movie ever, Tyler Perry's Temptations, Confession of a Marriage Counselor, starring Kim Kardashian. Until then, talk to you later.
See ya.